we've only got an Advent starts a month from today. Month from today, Advent starts. Month from today. You got.
Hanging in the creams is a month from today.
Where are you?
Advent's not, no pressure.
He always does. every server.
I just want to get you prepared.
Yes.
We already ordered the books.
Thank you.
Father, as we have gathered in your name, Father, may we see your grace, Father. May we look to the cross and find it empty and find you, Father, in our hearts, in our church, in our lives. Father, we are so blessed to be gathered in your name. Father, your wounded sacrifice given life for us. The Hebrew writer reminds us this morning, God, that you did it for us, once and for all, that no one else could take your place. And God, we praise you for that this morning, that as we have gathered in your name, Father, may you fill this place with your presence. May, Father, we see you in all that is taking place. God, may we not look around. May we not look to the world and to the things that we know. May we look to what we see in you, God. An empty cross, a tomb that is bare, and a Jesus active in this place. Father, we're so grateful that we can gather in your name and to worship you. Father, bless your people today in your holy name. You may be seated. Well, what's going on in the life of the church? Ladies Bible study, I know that's continuing at Hope Crossing.
This week? This week is the last week.
So you got that at Hope Crossing. What's next, John? Wednesday night. There's no Wednesday night Bible study this week. I've made it a practice over the years. I don't like individuals kind of out and about the night before Halloween. I don't worship devils or demons, but I just think it's safe for people to stay at home. I'm not attuned to that. I'm okay if the kids want to go trick-or-treating. I'm fine with that, but I'd just rather us not be out and about with craziness going on in the world today. You just never know, and I'd rather you be safe at home. So, no Wednesday night. Let's see, daylight savings times. If you forget to set your clocks ahead next week, guess what?
Yeah.
Back.
Set them back. We gain an hour, so you'll be early for church.
Sure.
You'll be real early.
You didn't even announce that.
Yeah, I shouldn't even announce it. I'll come early. Oh, I forgot to mention that.
You're going to see the devotion of the people, right?
Yeah. But that's next week. So don't forget that poinsettias orders that are there. Yeah, we were already talking about it. They said I have a tendency to rush that a little bit. But, hey, we already ordered the Advent packages. They're already on their way. Christ's birthday offering's already been ordered. The booklets are ordered. Things are already ordered because we've already got the package. I already have the sermon set up all the way through the end of the year. So everything's already in place. Hanging of the Greens will be a month from today, November 24th, right before Thanksgiving. We'll have Hanging of the Greens, and then the following week, we're right into Advent. So if you're like, just love to talk in front of people, we want to have some people doing our Advent readings. So we have 4 weeks of it before Christmas Eve. Right now we're planning the Christmas Eve service, but I do not have a pianist or a worship leader, so we may be doing it a cappella. I don't know yet. We're trying to work on that, but I'm not having much success. I've reached out to a number of people, and no one's available on Christmas Eve, so I'm not sure what to do yet, but we may be singing some a cappella songs, and that may be what we do. We may be doing some candlelight and a cappella, but that's to come, so we'll see how that goes. Go ahead. Food pantry. Again, I mentioned that last week. Please look at your dates on food that you're bringing in. I appreciate the food pantry, but please check the dates because I hate throwing food away. And we get some dates that are really well beyond, like a year beyond the date of them being able to distribute. So please, if you're bringing food in, just be mindful of that. And food pantry's there, and it's being active. Anything else, John? Bethany Church of God. Beth has finished the newsletters for November. She has them in the back, not the newsletters, the calendar. It's in the back. I will post it next week. The bulletin's been posted. Everything is there. We are actually leaving Thursday Thursday night. I have to be in Lansing all day Friday and half a day Saturday. So it is our annual general assembly, so I'll be there active on the board of directors and the executive board. So I'm required to be there. It's part of our group thing. So I'll be leaving sometime Thursday afternoon. If you need me, please just reach out. I'll have my phone with me the entire time. Prayer request today. We want to keep Roxanne in prayer. She's a little discomfort this morning with her back. We want to keep Kathy White in our prayers, who desperately needs some healing. She's got a lot of physical things going on. That's Shirley White's daughter-in-law. And we want to keep her in prayer. Kathy's in Huron Valley Hospital and needs some prayers. We want to continue to keep the church in prayer. Suzanne.
I want you to remember Butch Patrico. He's had back surgery and he was in the nursing home and he's got a whole bunch of bed sores and he had to go in and do freedom and then operate.
So we want to keep Butch in our prayers. Keep Rita in prayer this morning. Rita had knee replacement on Friday and she's already home. So from what we were told, she was having it Friday morning. She had to be there at 6:30 and she was having knee replacement and then roughly 5 or 6 hours later going home. So pray for Dave. I had prayer with her Thursday night and she was on the couch with some ice and stuff trying to keep it comfortable, but pray for Dave. Dave was like, it's no big deal. Sure it's not. But hey, keep them in prayer. Rita's at home recuperating. She said she wouldn't be here this week. So just multitude of needs in our bulletin and prayer requests.
Keep mom in your prayers.
Okay. We've been doing that. We'll continue to do that. We'll keep Judy in our prayers as well. Other ones that I'm missing before?
Gene and Gary.
They're doing well, but we want to keep, I'm sure Gary's probably going stir crazy by now.
Yes.
Wanting to get out of the house and pray for Gina. She tries to keep him down and keep him comfortable and keep him moving in the right direction. I see the doctor on Thursday. As you can see, no scooter, so I'm back and forth trying to take the standing moments as they are available to me. One of the songs I chose this morning is I Stand Amazed. Bart Miller does a contemporary version of I Stand Amazed. You'll recognize the tune. The other one is, it's by King's Porch. It might be a newer one for you, but it's about Jesus and looking to Jesus. So I trust both of them will allow you to worship today. Whether you're sitting or standing, just worship the Lord as God leads you.
Let every soul have it by prayer. Through the requests and the needs that have been brought before us today as we pause for prayer. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. God, in a world full of anxiety and chaos, there's power in your name. There's healing in your name. There's life. I stand, Father, amazed every day at what you do and who you are. I'm amazed, God, that you love us when oftentimes we don't love you back. I stand amazed, God, that you loved us enough and you went to the cross. God, you were the perfect gift, and you said there's no other way that we can find life and freedom from sin except you had to go to the cross. You were the perfect sacrifice. You were God's Son, and yet you willingly gave up your life for us. I'm amazed, God, that you love us enough, that you call us your children, that day after day, God, you call to us 24/7, God. You are there for us no matter what we face and no matter where we go. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. God, I want that name to be filled in my life. I want it to surround me. I want it to uplift me. I want it to gird me, to guard me, to strengthen me, to bless my life. Father, I just want to give back to you. I want to give back to you my life. Father, I know that I fall so short of your glory at times. I stumble, stub my toe, I fall short. I may not have been all that you wanted me to be, but God, you love me enough to redeem my life. Oh, thank you for that, God. Thank you that we can gather in your name. Thank you that we can hear the name Jesus. Father, let it be wrung out from the rafters of this building, all across this state, all across this great nation, the name of Jesus. Father, may there be power to oversee all the things that have taken place. Father, to bring healing and restoration to the Carolinas, to Florida, to the people that have suffered. Father, that the name of Jesus would be wrung out from the churches in Africa, all across this world. There's power in your name. God, may people bow to you, reverence you, give their lives to you in humble sacrifice. Father, I'm thankful we have a place. We have a place where we can come. Father, that we can worship you. It's not always easy, God, to find music to sing to, but God, you hear us, and you are with us today. Maybe this week has been a challenging week for us. Maybe things haven't gone exactly the way we wanted them to. Maybe, Father, in all of the course of things, we need to be drawn back to you. The enemy wants nothing more than to steal, kill, and destroy, to pull us from your love today. God, we defeat him today with the power of one name, Jesus. God, today, there's a multitude of needs, from Butch to Rita to Kathy to Judy to the ones we speak, God, to Gary, to Gene, to Dave, to the Scouts, to the Robs, to the sisters, to the nephews, to the cousins. God, there's a multitude of needs in this church. But I know one thing. Healing in your name. There's power in your name. And there's restoration in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for Mark, and I pray for Brent, and I pray for Tom, and I pray for Bethany. And God, we have been called to celebrate your name, the name of Jesus. God, I pray that our lives would be laid before you. It's not something we do by chance. God, you have called us and you've set us apart. You You said, go and speak the name of Jesus to a people that need to hear you. God, I pray that every person, not only watching, but gathered together, would hear the name of Jesus. And God, I pray for this world around us. Oh God, the elections are heating up. There's all kinds of rhetoric, conversation. Give us wisdom, God. Give your people wisdom today, not only to go out and vote, but to vote in the way that serves you, God, not the world. God, may we see through the rhetoric and vote in a way that exemplifies you and not what we think is the right way. Father, I pray for whoever you put into place. I pray, God, that you've already begun to prepare the path for what will take place. And I pray, God, that your name would be a name spoken, not only from the White House, but to every house, the name of Jesus would ring out. That there would be restoration and healing in a land that so desperately needs it. Father, for the wars and rumors of wars and the violence, God, may there be peace in our land. For every life that is lost, every heart that is taken away, restore, God, peace in our land. God, I pray that in the coming days, we will see you. Father, we're thankful for what you're able to do. We're thankful for healing. We're thankful for restoration. We're thankful for a God who loves us. Father, right now, you know where the multitudes are at. You know where people are at. You know where they're at home. So for all of them, for all of the requests we pray for, Father, whether it be physical healing or spiritual healing, God, put your hands upon people today. Father, touch them in a way that would so signify that you are on the move and, God, you are doing a mighty work. Father, from the rafters of Kenya to the church in Sterling Heights, let the name of Jesus be lifted high. God, may we just praise you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know us, God. You know our aches, our pains, our hurts, our longings. We pray, God, for every single need, that you would bring physical healing and spiritual healing where there needs to be. Oh, God, do it in such a way today that every single person would know they have been touched by the hand of God. God, I especially think of Butch and Kathy and Rita, Roxanne and Gary, the ones that we pray for, but God, they need your physical touch this morning. Oh God, anoint them with the power of Jesus, because silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint every single person. Father, that you bring physical healing to them right now. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. Father, right now, for those that are spiritually struggling, in the name of Jesus, hear their need. Right now, God, for every person that doesn't know Jesus Christ, and Father, in the sound of our voice, in our families, in our friends, in our circles, let Jesus be a new name spoken. Father, that you will come into their life, that you'll bring hope and healing where there has not been. Father, in your holy name, God, I pray all of these things. When everything escapes us, God, and we don't know, Father, bring your peace. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being in this place, in our lives, in our prayer, in the power of who we believe in. We'll thank you, God, and we will praise you. For this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. In your holy name, I pray and ask it. Amen. Amen. bring to you a story this morning. It's found in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to go there in a second. Familiar story. A wonderful message given all that we see going on. If you turn there, we're going to stand and read the Gospel. Maybe not.
Okay.
All right. I've entitled this message, Let Me See Again. Hopefully, you'll understand that more in just a second. Turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It'll be up on the screen if you want to stand with me. If you're able to, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving a city. Blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. I almost should shout, but I won't. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, and he shouted all the more, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, which means teacher, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Now Jesus is in Jericho. A group of his people accompanies him. Verse 46. Being on the road serves for us as a literary motif to introduce us to Bartimaeus, the blind man who sits on the sideway. The description of the character is straightforward. Unable to see, he begs for money. Bartimaeus represents the poorest among the poor. Although the narrative does not offer more details, we should realize he is a liminal character. Outside the city, outside the path, outside the light, outside the economy, Bartimaeus, like many beneficiaries of Jesus in healing, embodies the effects of social exclusion. We should also keep in mind that such a position most likely kept Bartimaeus from having a household. We have no indication that he was married. Although he is a son of, men in this situation would not be able to form a family, work to sustain himself and his dependents, or fulfill some obligations to proper civic and religious life. Now understand, Mark brings this narrative. Bartimaeus is the poorest of the poor. He sits in an area to where he hopes to have if people see him. Not that he would want to see, but people to see him. The narrative builds some tension using the crowd as an obstacle of communication between Jesus and the healer and Bartimaeus who was healed. Although the multitude charges the man to be quiet, such an injunction only causes the blind man to proclaim Jesus, son of David, even more. Bartimaeus confesses his faith in Jesus before the healing and the final words, and the function of an approval of a blind man's confession. So I've chosen the title today, Let Me See Again. So even the blind individuals, I believe, have a voice. And for all of that matter, all of us, you and me, we have a voice today. And I pray that once again, you and I Instead of being blinded by the economy, the political and social and ethnic and racial divides that you and I once again can proclaim today, let me see again. Now you might ask, where am I going with that? Even the blind individuals have a voice. Now my last statement may be a play on words. You might think, well, he might be blind, but he still has a voice. But the truth of the matter is, according to Scripture, we see Jesus' interaction with the lame, the crippled, the blind, the deaf, the mute. Some have physical ailments, while others have spiritual ailments, or even emotional ailments. The society then, let me just call it the society now, puts limits on the marginal. Those that don't fit the model of society, those that are downtrodden, those that are outside the norm, such is the case with Bartimaeus, and many who are excluded from the temple and access to Jesus. Many are left outside the temple and kept on the sidelines. Some are even, according to Scriptures, considered to be sinners and don't fit the model. In the New Testament, it was considered to be a sin in your life, in the life of your family, to have a physical ailment. It carries the stigma and the connotation that you must have done something wrong for your child or someone in your family to have a physical ailment. And you were considered the worst of the worst. You were considered blind, outside of the norms. You were on the margins. You were not even worthy of receiving acknowledgement. What stands out to me is that Bartimaeus calls on Jesus by name. Appending that impressive title, he says, Son of David. Now bear in mind, Bartimaeus has a cloak on. That cloak is Bartimaeus' protection. It protects him from the wind, it protects him from the rain, it protects him from the elements. It is his only means of survival. And yet in this moment, Bartimaeus throws that cloak off and it screams at the loudest of his voice, Son of David! He's never met Jesus. He only knows he's present. In fact, he calls out in such a loud voice that it creates a ruckus around him. Onlookers say, Shh! Don't you know who's here? Be quiet! Basically, they're telling Bartimaeus, in my language today, shut up. You don't have a voice. Close your mouth. Don't even open your mouth. Sit down, be quiet. You don't have a voice. Shut up. Now you might say that's pretty strong, but that's what they're telling him. And that's what the language says. He demands mercy. Rich man in the Scriptures wanted eternal life. James and John wanted to sit next to Jesus. All he wants is mercy. He doesn't even specify the nature of his mercy until Jesus questions him. Jesus responds to them. He calls him. He springs up. He throws off his cloak and he goes to Jesus. The Gospels tell us about the woman with the issue of blood. She pushed her way through the crowd just to touch his garment. We know Bartimaeus wants his sight. Notice for a moment, Bartimaeus is sitting on the roadside. How many times do you drive the road? How many people do you see beside the roadside? I'm not trying to force you into doing something different, but how many people do you see on the side of the road today? Multitudes. Almost everywhere you go, almost every city, almost every place has someone somewhere. Those are Bartimaeus. Those are people that we don't understand. Those are people we don't know why they're there. Those are the Bartimaeuses in life. They're rustic. They may have walkers. They may have clothes, they may not be showered, they may not be clean, they may be dirty, they may be smelly, but that's the Bartimaeus that scriptures are talking about. And I'm sure, just like me, I'm just as guilty as many others are. I've passed by them thousands of times on my journeys. I know where they stand, and I can tell you their faces when I see them in one place and I see them in another. I know who they are. I don't know them by name, but I know them by face. You know that if you arrive and go to certain places, they're always there. Maybe they're asking for food, maybe water, maybe survival. I'm sure that we question it many times. They're probably going to go buy drugs with it, alcohol. They're probably going to go smoke cigarettes. You don't know what they're going to do with the money. And we question. But those are the Bartimaeuses. Bartimaeus was begging. And it may have drawn the ire of the wealthy. Who is this guy? He has to go to a place to where he's not persecuted. And I'm sure every single day, Bartimaeus goes back to the same place. Somebody has to get him there. Either he knows the path, or he stays there, or he lives on the side of the road. He was a familiar face to those who traveled the path. And yet, on this occasion, something different happened. He heard the ruckus in the crowd. He can't see who they are, but something changed for him. You know, I've been told that people with physical handicaps have the ability to use their other senses. A blind man would have to depend on his sense of hearing, voice, and touch to determine a lot of things. His senses are heightened because his survival depends on it. He can't see, he can't read your facial expressions, and by all means, I wonder what Bartimaeus would be thinking if he saw our facial expressions at times. When you talk to people, you get the sense. That's why people don't like texting, because they can't get a sense. Or they either all capitals, or they put exclamation points, or they try to describe what they want, or there's a laugh out loud, and you're like, what are they trying to say? See, we get a better expression when we see your eyes. But we're told he may not be able to read the facial expressions, but he could tell. In this case, he heard it was Jesus. Bartimaeus uses his voice. One of the things we notice also in Scripture is that others try to blot out their voice. When see Jesus talks about the widows and the orphans and the less fortunate, he's made it a point to care for them, that we would identify them, and that he came to serve and not be served. We often notice that we need to ensure that you and I have a voice. Sometimes you hear mine a lot louder than others. But we have a voice. In the church today, they're saying, women, you don't have a voice. You need to be silent in the church. Don't talk. Man should lord it over you. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what Paul had indicated. I don't believe that's what Paul was trying to say. And for that matter, we have a voice. And whether you think this election matters in a couple weeks or a week and a half, it does. And it matters in a lot of respects. You have a voice in the way that you vote. And that voice is carried out in that respect. When the world says no, you and I must be a champion for yes, for even the marginalized. We also need to know that when we have a voice, we must validate what someone is saying. One of the most important steps, if someone tells you something, the most important aspect of that is to validate what's just been said to you. Don't try to talk over them. Don't try to talk around them. Don't try to overshadow them. We have some individuals, you know, they're little giants. They try to talk over you with their voice. They try to impress you with their voice and make you feel less of an individual. Don't do it. Stand up for what is right, because you and I have a voice today. We need to be validated and felt that we are worthy. And here Bartimaeus uses his voice while the others in the sidelines try to silence him. They try to shush him. They try to shh, 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 be quiet, shh. Stop. Don't you know who this is? This is Jesus. Don't you know the power he has? Just be quiet. Stop making a ruckus. Stay on the side of the road where you belong. Can you imagine the conversation? Who do you think you are, Bartimaeus? What? You think by raising your voice and calling out to you, he's going to recognize you? You're nothing but a loser. Shut up, Bartimaeus. Can you hear the conversation? That's how we talk to people today, isn't it? Let's be realistic. That's how we talk to individuals. Yeah, my old lady, she's next door. She's doing something else. Seriously, that's how we talk today. Instead of saying, I didn't hear you. Shut up. Who are you? Who do you think you are? I run this place. You don't. You don't know what you're doing. You're just about a kid. We put people down with our voice. Maybe I'm sounding sarcastic, but that's the truth today. We live in a world where we've got to stop. And we've got to listen to what we're saying. Bartimaeus knew the power of the one who was passing. Remind yourself today, you have a voice. Then the other thing I notice is, don't let the noise run out. You know, we come to a time, faith doesn't come easy to many of us. Others in the crowd rebuke Bartimaeus, demanding him to be silent. The details remind us that blind beggars dwell at the bottom of the rung in the social privilege. They don't have a voice. They're not even part of society. They're not allowed in the church. They're not allowed in the temple. They have no rights. They don't have any money. And he deserves exactly what he's getting. That's what people say. You did that to yourself. You get what you deserve. He could have been, for all that matter, born blind. We don't know. Oftentimes, we put others, their own needs before others. Perhaps in the ignorance about Jesus, the focus on his message is a concern for blind beggars. The reprimanded Bartimaeus threatens the limit of the range within Jesus, his compassion and his grace. Bartimaeus knows better. And what does he do in the midst of the crowd? When they tell him to be quiet, what does he do? Yells even louder. What? Reminds us that if the noise around you is too loud, I have to wonder, do we need to yell a little bit louder? You know, I'm going to be surprised if we watch the football game today at 1 o'clock, Tennessee Titans and the Detroit Lions. Now, I watched a little bit of the game yesterday, and I don't even want to comment. I'm embarrassed at how Michigan played. Even though they won the game, Michigan State should have won that game. Didn't come out that way, but I bet you, going to that Lions game today, there's going to be thousands of fans packed into that stadium, chugging down $14 or $15 beers, slugging away, and they're going to watch the decimals on the noise level in the stadium. They want it so loud that Tennessee cannot even hear the signals coming from their own huddle. But you know what? Here's a little play on my thought this morning. So quiet around Jesus. Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road, folks. Far be it from me. We're talking Jesus. We're talking a guy who's getting ready to go to the cross for you and me. A guy who fights every battle that we can win. A guy who gives us relief from our sins, who went to the grave, who came alive, who's resurrected, who sits at the right hand of the Father. And we're afraid to say amen or sing a little bit louder or raise our voice and praise the Lord. We don't want people around us to think we're all roars here. Maybe I'm playing on words, But we can go to the Lions game and we'll let our voice rip so much so that we go home and can't even talk the next day. We'll go to the Red Wings game and we'll bang on the glass for them to fight and have the biggest battle. And yet when we come to church, we're like... And I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just trying to say, we have a Jesus. And Bartimaeus found Jesus. And he did something miraculous for him. Let me tell you about a God who has done something wonderful for you. Deuteronomy 1:30 said, "And the Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did in Egypt." Before your very eyes, he's still fighting today. Don't let the home team lose out. Don't let the enemy gain a foothold. Make some noise. Let the enemy know you're alive and Jesus has won the battle. Now you might say I'm a little bit too loud, but how can you not be when I have a God who is over 40 years now, has resurrected my life from the pit of the grave, who has changed my entire course of life, who has given me everything that I've ever wanted, and then some. And he has done more for me than I could have even done for him. He's changed my life. He's changed my family. He's given me a hope. And he's brought resurrection to my life. Why wouldn't I celebrate that God? Why wouldn't I win out over the noise of the battle? But we live in a world today that drugs, alcohol, pills, screams for more, and pulls against all odds. The pressure, the battles become too much, and we give in to the world around us instead of giving in to Jesus. When the crowd says no, we must become a voice. The devil cannot win. We cannot give him a foothold. Matthew says in the gospel that when you go and clean up your house, the enemy is going to come back and he's going to make it worse than it ever was before. 7 times over. You have a voice. We must let the world know we serve Jesus. Don't be afraid to tell them what you want. Well, Bartimaeus, he said, well, what do you want? You don't think Jesus knew what he wanted? I thought that was kind of ironic. What do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? Well, let me see, Jesus. Where do you want me to begin? Yeah. I mean, he throws off his cloak. The guy cannot see. He's probably being ushered over to Jesus. And goes, well, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want? Clearly, I'm sure that Jesus knew what he wanted. I'm sure that the crowd said, don't have anything to do with that blind man. He already knew what Bartimaeus wanted. The important thing is, Jesus wanted to hear it from him. Matthew 6, 5 and following says, when you pray, the Sermon on the Mount, he said, don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the street corners. By others, truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. What's he trying to tell them? He says, look, don't be like the other people. But in verse 6, he said, well, when you pray, go in your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. You know, Jesus and I have some real good conversations in the closet. I'm just telling you, you might look at me kind of weird, but we have some real good conversations. He may not like everything I'm going to tell him. And I may not like everything he's going to tell me. But we have some good conversations. And eventually, guess what? I have to come out of the closet. There's truth in that. See, because Paul knew about the fact that when you go in, you can pray. Let God speak through your language. Let God use your language. That it's a conversation that you can have, that God pours into your life and you pour into His. There's a reciprocal door that God wants to do it. And it says, when you pray, do not battle like the pagans, for they like to be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask or pray. And he gives them the sermon on that wonderful prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. And he says at the close, forgive you do not forgive others, your Father won't forgive you. So we're told, don't be afraid to tell him what you want. Follow his example. Communicate with God. Experience God's power. Pray for others. Finally, my prayer is that you will see again. Mark's narrative compels us to consider the various roles and characters played in the scene. The various situations around the congregational and communal life. Bartimaeus with his needs and the prophetic insight. Jesus with his compassion and grace. The crowd with its determination to keep Bartimaeus blind and invisible. The others with the opportunity to guide him with Jesus. Take courage. Get up. He's calling you. I pray that Jesus restores the sight to every one of us who have been blinded by the light of the present day. Songwriter says, where darkness now shines, we can see the voice of those who are in the margins. We have a voice. The noise cannot hide us. Tell them what you want. We need to see again what we might be missing. I pray that God will open our eyes today, just like he did for Bartimaeus. No, you're going to say, well, I'm not blinded. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not physically blinded. Maybe you're spiritually blinded. My granddaughter was with me the other day, about a week ago, and I was wearing my glasses, these old cheap ones that I buy over the counter so I can see a little bit here and a lot down here. I went to put on my sunglasses because it was sunny out. She grabbed my glasses and she goes, Papa, you can't see! I'm like, no kidding. She looked at my glasses and she's like, whoa! My point is, as time ages, my eyes square, my hearing goes. Sight for Jesus never changes. My eyes may fail me, but my spiritual eyes know who Jesus is. I pray that every one of us will see Jesus again the way that he is. Father, thank you for the blessings you provided. Thank you, God, that we can see you, God, for who you are. Pray that you'll bless your people, Father. Pour into them, open our eyes, that we might see who we really are. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, Austin French gives us a good song. God is good all the time. I believe.